Hey, it's Ali Ciardo, and this is the Photo Field Notes podcast. Today, I'm talking with Liz Fogarty, and Liz has created this amazing luxury brand. It's so consistent. It's so beautiful, and I actually found her on Instagram, and as soon as I saw the brand that she had created, I knew that I had to talk to her about how she put it all together, how she continues to make it consistent over time, and how she's attracting her clients. So you're in for a good listen. I'm so excited to share. Here goes the interview.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
Hey, everybody. This is Ali Ciardo, and I am here today with Liz Fogarty, who runs Elizabeth Fogarty Photography. And Liz, I think I was trying to remember where I came across your brand in the first place. I feel like it was the Rising Tide Society or something like that.
And
yeah. Okay. So it had to be like on the Facebook page and some kind of conversation or sharing something. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. You know, she does a great job with her. Just the way you present your brand is very, it's obviously very well thought out, and you've taken some time
Thank
and you've really
you.
Put it all together. Yeah, absolutely. So I would love to start by talking a little bit about that. When you went to create the brand as it is today, talk a little bit about how you went about it.
Sure. That's a great question. I feel like branding is that one topic I can go on like forever talking about it. So pretty much creating a brand, I think the biggest thing is that it takes time, and a lot of people don't realize that. They kind of just go to Pinterest and pick like five pretty pictures and create a brand after that, but that just doesn't work in the long run. So I think a brand is ultimately that concept that you have in a client's mind. So even if you think your brand is elegant and romantic, but you're just posting something that's the opposite, that means your brand is not cohesive and it's not clear. So creating that brand that's very strong, it definitely takes time. And it takes time to just know what kind of brand that you want and what kind of brand that your work shows. And I think you have to have a very strong handle on those things to have that very strong brand. So photographers, I always encourage them to just shoot and shoot and shoot. Like do stout shoots or shoot weddings for you to really get down the kind of images that you produce so that they start becoming cohesive and that you start having that brand that also attracts that ideal client so you keep producing more of that work. So again, it just takes time and it just takes being authentic with yourself and with your work. So you'll see that you kind of start attracting a lot of clients that are a lot like you. So just putting your personality out there with your brand, I think it's very important too, like to have your personality show through, you know, either Instagram or through captions or through types of pictures you post or types of emotion. So that also builds a very strong brand is being authentic with yourself and with your personality, because you are going to attract more of that, which is super, super important.
If you had to pick one or two words for your brand, what would those words be?
And that's also a great question, because I feel like it's okay for a brand to always be evolving right now, evolving naturally. So right now, my two words are like romantic and elegant. So you see that I only post very romantic pictures and images and romantic caption. So I won't post anything funny or anything too that's not like detail heavy, because I want like elegance and I want that to shine through my words and through the images that I do post. I also like the word bright. So you see that I won't post anything that's like dark or contrasty or moody. Because that's definitely not my work and it's not what I want to attract more of. So it's using those words, and you want to also work with things that inspire you. So I know that like a dark venue won't inspire me. So I won't post anything that's like dark or not filled with light, because I want to attract more of that work, because I know that's going to fuel my creativity on the wedding day or for a style shoot.
That's so fascinating. And I think this brings up a really good point. Obviously, as a photographer, you have your branding elements, you have your logo, you have your font, and you have even your brand voice that comes out. But your images, at the end of the day, your images are what are going to tell, that's what's going to tell the story about your brand. So when you go to pick out your images and put together, let's say, A, you have images on your website, B, you have images in social media. So how do you approach
curating those images and really making sure that every single image that you fit, that you share, whether it's maybe wedding related or not wedding related, fits into the brand and the message that you want to put out there.
Correct. So in terms of choosing pictures, sometimes it's so hard because you don't know what to pick. But it goes back, like you said, that question asked me earlier about 2 to 3 brand words. So my images will always fall for either, like, it has to go be all 3 words. It can't just be 2 of them or 1 of them. So that's the first question I ask is, is this image romantic? Is it elegant? Is it bright? Does it show authenticity and a connection between my couple? And it's, like, not posed. So I go through all these questions before I post that image. If it's a yes for that, then it also has to enhance my brand. If a picture is just a picture of a flower or just like a decoration of the wedding day, and it does not add to my brand, I won't post that either because it's just washing it out. So you want everything to be pre-thought and to be very, like, you're the curator of your work in the end of the day. Especially now, like you said, Instagram is the new mini portfolio. Like, obviously, your website is your storefront, but right now, brides are going to Instagram before they go to your website. So it's even so important to have that well curated, just as important as the website. So that's, you know, just so you have that your brand is clear so that when she's scrolling, you can have like those, you know, 12 squares. Are they going to keep scrolling down or are they going to go to another Instagram account? So you want to make sure that your brand is very clear, cohesive, so that your bride or your client keeps scrolling and kind of falls in love with your work and your personality.
I think that's so interesting because I think it's really easy to feel like maybe more is better, or there's just something that you feel personally, like you're like, oh, but I really want to share this. But, and I have found myself, you know, but maybe it doesn't fit necessarily when you first look at it. So if you're looking at Instagram, obviously, if you are using Instagram as your business storefront, you know, it is a place where couples and potential clients are going to find you. Correct. It's really brilliant, but I think that it takes a lot of thought and a lot of self-constraint, really, to make sure that you are.
Love
that you're running
it.
Yeah, that you're running every single word by it. So do you have any other... Well, let's do this. Let's talk about when you go to plan out your content. Are you planning it in advance, or are you just kind of pulling things whenever you feel like it?
Sure. So I do plan in advance, and then I do plan in advance how my feed is going to look like with that picture. So in advance, overall, in general, I kind of like to keep my content, not only your pictures, but your content needs to be cohesive too. So I kind of stick to kind of like 5 main things in my Instagram, which is obviously my work, me being an educator. I talk about Gavin, my husband, and my dog, Oodles. I talk behind the scenes, like my office, and obviously like getting published. So I try to stick to those, you know, 5 or 6 things or whatever, however many works for you, so that your content is also tight, not just your pictures. So that your bride gets to know you and gets to know your work. So I want just random things, like if I bought new sneakers, that has nothing to do with my brand, and it's not going to add to my brand either or help my clients get to know me. So I try to keep things not random at all, but very cohesive. So it's kind of like well-rounded. So I do plan in terms of that. So for my content, and I try to just write it down. Hey, where do I want my business to be, you know, accomplished? And then follow that with pictures and with words and with captions. And I also do pre-plan. And there's so many apps out there. Like if I'm going to add a picture of a bouquet or, pretty hot bridal heels, is it going to look good with my feed? So I use an app called Oom, and there's so many of them out there that I just post I just like have my little grid, and I see if the picture I'm going to post looks good, and if it's not, then I just pick a new one. And you'll see that I try to keep my color palette kind of cohesive too. Like I'm not all over the place with colors. You know, I'm definitely a neutral. I love my neutrals because they always photograph so well, and they're definitely part of my brand, like that gray and those colors that are kind of neutral on the side. So I do plan in terms of content and with pictures by just using, you know, free apps or whatnot.
Yeah, well, you do a really great job with it. All right, the other thing that I think seems to be really helpful for you is you work with assistants. So talk to me about that and how that helps you when it actually comes to shooting, working with assistants,
sure.
You know, what that looks like for you.
So I actually work, so I on wedding day, I have a second shooter who's mostly my husband, Gavin, who's great and awesome. He knows my style, and he's very friendly. And then I also have an assistant who's that person who kind of runs my timeline. And that's so Gavin and I are just focused on shooting. And my assistant kind of, you know, carries the reflector, has the timeline on hand, and my full questionnaire so I know what to expect for the wedding day. She's also ready for the family formals because, you know, those can take super long time. So she has those names ready to go and those groups, and she's pretty loud. So she just fills out the name, and we get those family formals pretty fast. She's also in charge of my off-camera flash, just making sure it's in the right place. And if I run out of batteries, she's obviously right there to put new batteries in. So it is very helpful to have an assistant. And honestly, it's kind of funny because I never intended to do this, but it's kind of like a family affair. So my assistant is actually my sister-in-law mostly.
Nice.
So I have Gavin, my husband, my sister-in-law. So we really do make a great team, and I absolutely love working with them. And I think one thing that we added last year to weddings, which we're definitely going to implement this year, is we have walkie-talkies. And that's because, you know, Gavin's across the room and I want to tell him something, and obviously can't yell something out during toast. So now we have walkie-talkies, which has been so helpful because they go pretty far, and just having the day, gets the day to run a little bit more smoother because we can, you know, we're not texting because texting looks so unprofessional. So we just talk via walkie-talkies, and then logistically, like, it's been really helpful this year.
Nice. Are they like the headset kind, or just how does it work?
Yeah. And it's funny because people, you know, people love that kind of stuff. The guests always ask. So it's like, it has like those clear headphones. So it looks like we're like secret agents or something.
I love that. Guests,
it's so funny. Like, and we're speaking into it and guests like look at us. So it adds like, you know, it sets us apart, which is kind of funny.
I can see how that would be useful, though. There are definitely times when you're across the room and you might have signals or something like that, but to be able to just say what you need to say really quietly without getting in the way, that's awesome. Well, I was going to ask you about how you found your assistant, which obviously, since your assistant is related, it that answers my question. But how did you realize that you needed an assistant, and how has that changed your business?
Yeah, so I pretty much need an assistant because it just makes, I think as an artist, and we have so many things on a wedding day. We have details, we have to carry reflectors, and we have our lenses bag, and where we put the lens, and find the right light, make sure we're not in people's ways. So it just got a little bit hard for me to focus on my craft. So I knew I needed an assistant when I wanted to step up my game, and honestly, it really did. So for example, I bring the styling boards for me to shoot details on wedding days, and there's no way I can carry two camera bodies, lenses, and my styling boards. I also bring like ribbons and other things to add to the details for the wedding day. So I think when it got a little too overwhelming, where I was not focused on being an artist, that's when I knew I needed to bring an assistant. And it's just worth the weight in gold. And I know it's an extra, you know, expense to have that extra person, but it's so important. I would just, you know, make sure you add that to your wedding packages, so you're obviously not losing money, because in your client, I feel like it's better for everyone, for your client, for you, for my team, just to have that extra set of hands on the wedding day that, hey, you know, I always, you know, if Kate needs to run to the car to put the styling boards back or bring something out, or my batteries died, or she always has new batteries on her, it just makes the wedding day much more smoother, and it makes me a better photographer because I can focus and not be all over the place.
Yeah, I can see how that could be, you know, an easy sell, definitely, to have such the day run so much smoother. All right. And then you talked, I think this is a great segue. You talked about your styling boards that you bring in for shooting the details. And you do a lot with shooting details, and you take these amazing detailed pictures.
I do.
Thank you. Do you want to share a couple tips for people who maybe are struggling with details? Just maybe like one little thing that they could do that might help them to conquer the details and feel like they're, you know, and maybe, you know, you, in a way you already have. I think one great way is if you have either the time set aside where you've allowed yourself the time, or you have someone helping you so that it's just easier to get it all done. I find that when I feel like I struggle with the details the most, it's when I'm the most rushed. So A, I think
correct.
For me is time. But yeah, if you want to share like one or two quick tips on things that you like to do for getting amazing, like the lay flat details and those little details.
Yeah, so details are just so close to my heart, and I think it's so important to capture them well on the wedding day. And it's easy to write it off as, oh, it's just a shoe or it's just a dress. I think there's so much more than that, because they really are what inspired our bride to have that design. And maybe her veil came from her, you know, it was her grandmother. So I always make sure to get those details because they're very important. And like you said, just time. I think logistics is a big one. Like, educate your bride. So 2 months before the wedding day, I do send a questionnaire where I do tell them that I need at least 45 minutes for details. And that's just uninterrupted. That does not mean you're getting ready and I'm there. So I'm just doing, I do a solid 45 minutes of details, and I make that very clear. And I've never had any issues of people, of them not having me, you know, giving me that time. So I think that's number one, is educating your bride and making that clear. Number two, for great details, I think it's just practice, because those do not come naturally. Like, styling an invitation suite looks so easy, but it's not. When you're rushed on the wedding day and you have to go to the next shot and you have that invitation suite and you're stuck, I get stuck and I'm like, what the heck? This does not look organic or natural. So it just becomes, actually, I would practice at home. Even like, so I just did a brand shoot 2 weeks ago with the things that like define me, define my brand, define my business, and attract my ideal clients. And just taking the time at home to style those things, like a cute drink and my laptop and my glasses and a camera, it helps you become a better styler for the wedding day. Because being a photographer is crazy. We have to run a business. We're artists. We have to style things. We have to make sure the timeline is good. We have to have good light. So you want to be practiced beforehand, so you're ready on the wedding day and you're not practicing on the wedding day, because it does definitely get a little crazy. So yeah, it definitely takes time to get those really good detail shots.
I am so with you. And especially, yes, invitations. And then, you know, you might think it's perfect and there's that little thing that's not quite there.
Yes.
I actually love it when I think, I'm trying to remember if I'm now asking for it, to have the couples actually send me the invitation ahead of time. So, and I still like to get it on the wedding day with the other details, but I love just taking quiet time at home and shooting the invitations at home sometimes, just A, for practice, and B, as kind of a, like, if I get a great shot, you know what, I'm going to include that in their gallery because yes, it's a great shot. So that might work too for people who might need a little extra time or practice. Just ask your couples to send you the invitation so that you can have it ahead of time.
It really does. And I know a lot of photographers that do bring it home and do it in their own time. And it definitely does work.
Yeah, that too. Absolutely. I think when you feel rushed, I mean, time, absolutely. Time and practice. Those are a great way to start.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to touch on, and it's kind of related to details, is getting published. So
yes,
you put a big focus on getting published. So can you share just a couple of quick tips with people who maybe they've never gotten published before, they're really intimidated by the idea, or they're struggling with it? Where can they get started?
Yeah, so getting published, I think it's very, very important. Number one, it's free marketing for us. So when we get published, for example, on Style Me Pretty, Style Me Pretty will Instagram you, and they're going to, you know, share a link of your website, and they're going to pin your pictures. So that's just free SEO for all of us. So I really do focus on getting published. So not only that, I think it also just sets you apart from the competition. It shows a bride that you can shoot editorially, and that you can shoot to get published. Not that every wedding should be published, because I think there is too much of a focus on that sometimes. And wedding days are really about you getting married, and it shouldn't be about you being on Style Me Pretty. So I'm against that, but I'm definitely for getting published and focusing on that as a business owner. So, and it is very scary, honestly. And I did struggle over the years ago, you know, to get that first Style Me Pretty wedding, which is a pretty big deal. So getting published really is, Number one, study the blogs that you want to get published. So for example, I know that my style fits within Style Me Pretty. It's that, you know, airy style, very soft, very elegant. So I knew that Style Me Pretty was a good fit for me. For example, I would probably never submit something to Green Wedding Shoes, because they really are a little bit more bohemian, maybe a little more moody than my style. So study the blog so you're not wasting your time or the editor's time. So you know that where a blog or a magazine is going to be a good fit for your style overall. So that's number one, knowing which blog to submit to.
Yeah, I love that it just all comes full circle, doesn't it? It's knowing your brand,
it does.
Knowing your audience,
exactly.
And knowing Correct. Where to submit. It just all works together. Like, every single one of these things is completely connected.
It really does, though. And it's like, and like you said, it goes back to being knowing your brand and being cohesive. If you don't even have your editing style down, you should not be focused on submitting at all, because you need to work on that.
Yeah, I agree. You have to know who you are. And see step Correct. One. See step one, creating yes. your own brand, like, and knowing your own voice.
And, like, refining, like, your artistic style. Once you have that down, I think that when you start to submit. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, think about submissions, and especially magazines. They are creating work to inspire brides. So that means that if something has been pinned 100 times, an editor is not going to pick it up. And I think that's where there's a lot of struggle right now in the wedding industry, is that it's so saturated with styled shoots. And I think it's great to do styled shoots. I really believe in them. But at the end of the day, if you are creating work that has been created already, or just copying, or, for example, I feel like blush and gold weddings are so, you know, hot for the last 2 years. So it probably will not be picked up by an editor. So they always want to be fashion forward, especially print. Because if I submit something today, it's only going to be published probably in the next season. So in magazines, always want to stay ahead. So you always, and it goes back again, full circle. So who are you attracting? Are you attracting a bride that's going to keep, you know, that is fashion forward, that's going to try something a little bit new, that's going to have cohesive design? So that's why I show so many details. I show, you know, fashion forward weddings, designer gown weddings, because I want to attract more of that so that I can continue to be published, because I think it's very important as a business to be published. And it goes back to just shooting details too. You definitely have to have a strong sense of shooting details, because editors want to show those details so that when brides look at the magazines, they can help, it helps them plan their wedding. So it goes back to that, and I think it's not something to be scared of. I would start off with local blogs. So, you know, smaller blogs or smaller local blogs, those are easier to get published on. And then I would definitely, you know, push forward to national blogs, because those are, you know, very important, that they're going to put your work for a bigger audience, which is what you need, and, you know, more SEO. And then I definitely would focus on print, which is definitely very hard, but it is not impossible. It definitely was very scary, but it definitely works out. And it's crazy, because I'm right now, I just got the cover of the Washingtonian, which is pretty crazy. I would
That's
have never
exciting. That's thought, so great.
It really is. I never thought it would have happened in like a million years. It's so weird to see it. But definitely, like, don't give up and just keep trying.
So talk about that just for a second. How did you get the cover? Because I want to just kind of point out the idea that, I mean, and maybe they just came to you, but most often, things don't just fall in your lap. You have to do the work to get there.
Correct.
So how did you end up getting Correct. That cover?
So that's, and this is going to go full circle again. So Sarah, who's the former editor of the Washingtonian, she actually found me on Instagram. So if she had come to my Instagram and it was a hot mess with pictures of my dinner, like oodles just sleeping, or just weird random stuff, she wouldn't have given me another thought. So Sarah first found me on Instagram, started following me. I think that's when she saw me, which is crazy. So the fact that my Instagram was cohesive, that my brand was very strong and very clear, was what obviously attracted Sarah to my Instagram. So that was like the first step. And then obviously the Washington, you know, Bride and Groom is such a big deal in the D.C. area to be published in. So I would always send Sarah, you know, my best weddings, but like my favorite ones, you know, ones that I knew that she wanted. And I think you also want to cultivate those relationships with editors. So if Sarah ever wanted a wedding, she got it. So if she ever commented on like a picture, and even if I had, you know, planned to maybe submit to the knot, I would give that to Sarah, because I wanted that relationship. And the fact that she did pay attention to me, that's a big deal. So it started all in my Instagram. And then I just obviously kept submitting weddings. And even, I feel like as a photographer, you know when the wedding is perfect
yeah.
for submission, because you kind of know what editors want after a while. So after this wedding, and I also did try to edit fast, because I knew that the cutoff was coming, you know, was coming up. So I edited super fast, submitted it, and I made it into the magazine, and then I made it, and then the spring came, which is when my cover came out, which is just last week.
Oh, yay. Nice. Okay, yeah. So obviously, for those of you listening, this wasn't just somebody who, I mean, she found you on Instagram, and that's where it started, but it took
Correct.
You then submitting the weddings and you being persistent about
Yes.
getting it in there, and that's how it happened. So you have to put in the work
Correct.
To make it happen.
And submitting, I think not wasting editors' time, submitting really strong weddings. Like, I would not submit weddings that I've seen on a Washingtonian before. And honestly, I've done that. And Sarah, she was very kind. She's like, well, we just had a gold wedding. So pay attention to what they're doing. If they've already just showed a gold wedding at the Jefferson, they don't want another one because it makes no sense.
Sure.
And we're so attached to our weddings that we don't see that. So I've been really thinking about, like, you know, really taking time to know my blogs and what they have not shown. And if they've just shown a blush wedding, they're not going to pick up your blush wedding because they just had that and it's too repetitive.
Yeah, all such good advice. Okay, so I want to direct listeners to where they can find you. So share where listeners can find different things that you have to share out there online.
Perfect. So my biggest one is obviously Instagram, which yep. is, I think, where I spend most of my time, which is Liz Fogarty. So at Liz Fogarty, that's Fogarty. And they can always go to my website, which is ElizabethFogartyPhotography.com.
Perfect. And then do you have anything else that you want to share upcoming? Anything like resources for photographers?
Yeah. So I'm actually, this year is going to be an exciting year for us. I'm kind of switching to more tutorial and education. So we are in the middle of taping for a tutorial on off-camera flash because I know it's such a scary topic for a lot of photographers out there. And it definitely was scary for me when I just started out. So we are still in the works. So it should be ready hopefully by the summer. So it's going to be like just a tutorial on how to get that natural light, like to emulate natural light using flash during reception when there's no more sun. And I know it's very scary, but we are going to make it super easy.
Awesome. Okay, so where can people find that when it's ready?
So it's going to be on my website. And I'll definitely mark it on my Instagram definitely a lot.
Perfect. Awesome. Liz, this is so really, really inspiring. I think people are going to have some great takeaways. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Seriously, definitely has been a blast. So thank you for having me for your time.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.